Father in heaven, again, we thank you for the privilege of coming to you through the medium of prayer. We thank you, our God, for the very promise of your presence as we would serve you and as we would talk with you. Your ears are always open. Your eyes are always attentive to our need. We thank you, our God, for the promise of your word, for the fellowship that we have with you and the communion with you through your word. We thank you, our God, for the blessed hope presented because of your greatness and power and love. We thank you, our God, for your people, and we pray, our God, for your blessing upon each of them as they are here assembled. For those who are unable to be with us, our God, you know of their need. And so we pray, our Father, for a very special blessing. We ask, our Father, that you just care for them all and keep them close to you. We pray, our Father in heaven, that if we have forgotten anyone here, that you would, we know that you're sufficient to their needs, and we just ask that you would bless them and care for them all. Many of our number are here and there. We pray for your blessing upon them as they are away. We pray that your goodness would be with them all. And so, our God, guide them in your mercy that we might be directed by you in your paths to serve you. We pray that you take full control of this service to your glory as we would praise you and as you would serve you through Jesus' name. I could not think of a thing that would be more appropriate to the day than this. I think that God in his goodness and love grants to us friendship and strength. And as we strengthen one another, we're led of one another or by one another and help one another through the mercy and the goodness of God. My basic text this morning is found in Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter. The book of Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter. In case you're saying, well, where is that book? You go to the book of Psalms, and then it follows the book of Proverbs, which follows Psalms. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. If it's in there, it's probably one of the writings of Solomon. But he always has some things which are very good. There's a lot of wisdom involved in them. And I'd like you to look with me to the 9th and the 10th verses of Ecclesiastes 4. And it says this: two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. Woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. Well, in studying scriptures and looking at life, I find that the Word of God has an answer to every question. It seems to have a solution to every problem. At least it addresses nearly everything that comes up somehow, some way in life. I've heard individuals say, I've had them say to me, I need no friends. I do not need anyone to help me. After all, I'm strong. I'm able to do anything I want to do. Some of these individuals have financial means that you and I do not have. And some of them have physical strength that you and I do not have. And some of them have educations beyond anything that you and I may have. And for these various reasons, depending upon their situation, they seem to have the idea that they can walk alone. But it's strangely, however, when these people who have depended upon their wealth, have depended upon their physical strength, or have depended upon their education, when things have gone astray, when things have gone wrong, when they find that money cannot buy their way through, when they find that physical body that was so strong is now racked with pain, when they find that degree, that little piece of paper that says they're educated beyond the limits of some other individual, when all of these things seem to be useless at the moment, strangely, they begin to call upon God. They begin to want to call on God. And they even call that preacher sometimes, many times. And I'm not putting that down. I'm glad that they will. But you see, the point of it all is that these things in themselves do not always give us that which we want. But the scripture says here, again, notice the beauty of that expression. Two are better than one. If one falls, the other will lift him up. But oh, the trouble you will be in if you fall and you cannot get up and there's no one there to help you. So today I think of the everlasting arms of God that uphold us as we walk through life. When we need this strength that can alone help us, when even our association with one another does not do all that we want it to do. And so I go back to that old song, which I've heard many times, just one line from that, "My God and I, we walk along together." How wonderful it is to know that you can walk with your God. Well, as I think of this, I think of that one thought of the scripture that indicates that we can only walk with God as God is close to us. And if God is not there, it is not because God has moved, but because we have walked other places. I would like you to turn with me to several portions of God's Word to note the importance, however, of the fellowship that we have one with the other within the scope of God's church. And then we will show how, we trust, we will show how by walking step by step with God, with Christ, and with one another, we're journeying toward the kingdom of God. In the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, the third chapter. And I note here this prophet is writing in this manner. It says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought on his name." I think of the words of the Apostle Paul where he says, "Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together." And so much the more as you see the day approaching. The purpose of assembly then is not simply to have a place to go on Sunday morning or Sunday evening or Wednesday night. But the purpose of assembling is to strengthen one another. And we notice in this particular book of Malachi that God had been talking through his prophet about those individuals who were claiming to be his people, who were making the claim but were in reality ignoring their responsibility. And God is exhorting them through the prophet to walk close to him. And then he says in the verse 15 of Malachi 3, speaking about, it says, "And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, that tempt God are even delivered." In other words, we're saying to ourselves, but what difference does it make whether we walk with God or walk with the world? But the very next verse, that verse which we read earlier, verse 16, indicates that they sat down and talked with one another about some of their thoughts. And they were not proud of the things that they had been thinking about, nor proud of the things that they had been saying among themselves. And it says, "They that feared the Lord spake often one to another," or they communicated about it. And because there was a oneness of fellowship and a oneness of thought, I can just almost hear them saying, "We have not been doing what we should have been doing. We could be doing these other things which we haven't been doing." And it says, "And the Lord hearkened the Lord's ear was opened. He heard what they said, and he heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought about his name. It's good to think about the name of the Lord. It's good to come in fellowship. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Go with me to Acts the second chapter. Acts the second chapter and the 42nd verse, where we note here the things that were passing through the minds of the early people in the early church. And it says in verse 42 rather, of Acts 2, speaking of the things that had happened after they were baptized, and it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Did you ever try to build a fire in a fireplace with one log? And keep it going especially. You have a little bit of kindling and you put it under one chunk of wood. Just how long will your fire last? I'm sure that most of us has had the experience of trying to do it or noting what happened. When the kindling burns out, the log stops burning. But if you put two together, put a little kindling there, the heat from each piece begins to come up there and the flame stays alive. And so it is that it is so important that we fellowship together. We need just be able to see one another. We need to come together in a fellowship, not just with one another, but you notice here, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They talked about it. They communicated about it. They were just there. There was this tie. We sing this song, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Why? Because we are getting a foretaste of that which will be in God's kingdom when we are together forevermore. Now again, we must recognize that we as friends are not always perfect individuals. Now you notice when I said not always. It would be nice for us always to understand one another. It would be nice for us always to be in perfect communion. But as there are individuals in the home, there are individuals within the church, and diversities of ideas, still at the same time, if there is this true friendship, this true fellowship, we recognize the faults of one another and love the individual in spite of the faults. And you say, well, that's not possible. But let's just stop for a moment. If the God of heaven looked upon us and saw and would see us as we might see one another, and we're not forgiving, and we're not understanding, and we're not willing to grant to us his blessing, then in spite of our faults, we would all be in one colossal mess. But God in his grace and goodness sees us as we are. And I'm glad that he does. Or it sort of tempers our life. But when we know that God sees us as we are, even though we have not seen the invisible God, we understand the meaning of his love because of our temporal relationship. Go back with me to Isaiah, the 41st chapter. Isaiah, the 41st chapter, and we will look at the 8th verse. And I want to elaborate on this just a little bit. But it says, but thou, verse 8, chapter 41, but thou, Israel, art my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. This is the same thought that is, I want to go, you know, follow with me then, go back with me to James, the second chapter, and the 23rd verse. Back in the New Testament, James, the second chapter and the 23rd verse, and we'll tie these verses together. And I would have you to note what it says concerning this man, Abraham. James 2, and notice verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. What made Abraham the friend of God? Notice here that Abraham believed God. They had a reason to walk together. We've often recalled how Abraham heard the voice of God, how he left the Ur of the Chaldees and he went to the land that God was showing to him. God was leading the way. Now, Abraham did not always do exactly that which God wanted him to do. If you study his life, you notice he was not a perfect individual in the strictest sense. But nevertheless, he believed God, and he sought to do God's will as best a human being could under the circumstances in which he found himself. And because of his belief, it says it was imputed to his account, or it was as though he were righteous, and it was laid to his account. And remember there in Malachi that says a book of remembrance was written. And so we find then that Abraham, because of his faith, walked with God, and God walked with Abraham. And I see that God's purposes were fulfilled through Abraham, and Abraham certainly was abundantly blessed of God. May I add that I do not believe that things have changed much from that day to this in that sense. As we walk with God, and God then walks with us in that sense, directing us, in this fellowship divine, we can feel then that God's purposes will be fulfilled in our lives, and that we then can see that there is a purpose for our lives as we go on in this journey of life toward the eternal kingdom of God. And 1 John, the first chapter, you go on to the back of your Bible a little bit from where you found yourself there in James, to the book of 1 John and the first chapter and the 7th verse. It's in verses 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, to have the blessing of knowing that your sins are forgiven by the grace of God and by the love of God. And we feel this not because we are of self-righteousness, but because we know that God's love is real. We've all had the experience of going out and just working at something and getting ourselves just absolutely filthy dirty. But then I've said many times, thank God for water. And we can get ourselves cleaned up. And I say again, thank God for the love of God, which cleanses us from sin and creates a fellowship. I know when the time, this happens every once in a while, you see a little child, they've been out in the dirt. And you look at them and you think of this little child, and I see mothers already looking like that. They've experienced a child just covered with dirt. And someone says, only mother could love a little one that's as dirty as that. But you see, that love is there. But then, you get that little child all scrubbed up and cleaned up, and it's just sweet and lovable, how great it is. And I feel this fellowship. It's a very earthy illustration. But I feel that this shows the beauty of God's love, as in love and mercy and grace. God, through the love of his Son and by the love of his Son, Jesus Christ, takes us in all our filth and all our sin and cleanses our lives and makes us a part of his family. And we are bound together, you see, by this love in this wondrous fellowship that will lead us toward the kingdom of God. John, the 15th chapter, the Gospel of John. Gospel according to John, the 15th chapter, verses 13 through 15. John 15, 13 through 15. Where Jesus is saying this, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friend." Verse 14, "Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." Now notice, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the Lord knoweth what his Lord, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not," verse 16, "ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Isn't it wondrous? Isn't it beautiful when you think that Jesus Christ calls us from the filth of the world into a fellowship divine, cleanses us, takes away the old filthy rags by his love and by the power of God, and makes us his. How wondrous it is then that we, as we journey toward the kingdom of God, we are able to realize that God's love surrounds us and keeps us and sustains us. Go back in the Old Testament to the book of Amos, and this is, again, is one of those books that you have to find. I always say Hosea, Joel, and Amos. That way I know where it is. But we go to the third chapter of the book of Amos, and we will notice these words in the third verse. And I had you turn to it. I could quote it. But I have you turn to it for a very specific purpose. I want you to mark it. I want you to think about it. It says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Think of it then in this way, that we have a valuable friendship, and friendships are only sustained as each individual in that partnership of friendship go on to do what they are supposed to do. I've known of friends that have fallen out and haven't with one another, who haven't spoken to one another because, I say friends, because a limb of the apple tree hung across the neighbor's line. And they were good friends, but because the neighbor went out there and picked an apple, from there on, that was wrong. Or they trimmed the branch. Or the cat, you know, came across over this other, across the fence. Or the rooster flew across the fence and pecked the tomatoes. And so the reason never to speak to one another. I question that type of friendship. And so it says here, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" We need to walk hand in hand with God, with Jesus Christ, and with one another. Things happen along through the journey of life that are not always as we would want them to be. But I would like to close this message this morning by simply reading a portion of God's Word, which I believe explains very adequately our fellowship together and our fellowship with God. And I'd like you to open your Bibles at this time as we look to the 23rd Psalm, Psalm 23. We read it often, we think about it often, but I want you to remember that we are journeying toward the kingdom of God, the return of Jesus Christ, and the establishment of the kingdom of God upon the earth. I think of the words of the writer, of the Apostle Paul, where he says, "We, receiving a kingdom, we faint not, we turn not back." And so I'd like to close this message this morning. I want you to realize that if the Lord is your shepherd today, that we will finally at last, if the Lord is our shepherd today, we will be blessed of him now, and at last we will be a part of the kingdom of God upon this earth at the return of Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May we value this friendship divine with God through Christ Jesus. May we place an eternal value on our friendship and fellowship together in God's church. May we walk with God, walk with Christ, and with one another through this present day, that when Jesus returns again, we might find then the satisfaction and the joy of living in the kingdom of God on this earth forever and ever. May God bless you.